claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm looking at today's front page of the Wisconsin State Journal as a reflection of the decadence of American journalism. There are a couple articles I mentioned first that you might or might not notice. There's a photograph of a statue of a coyote that they put in the park in order to chase away geese. This is interesting to me from an intellectual point of view, given the work I've done on the nature of mind, because the possession of a mind, an evidential indicator that you actually have a mind, is the ability to make a mistake. If you have the capability of making a mistake, you have a mind. Notice tables, chairs, rocks, trees don't have the capacity to make a mistake, but geese do. They're mistaking a fake coyote for a real one. That's a type of example I use in my philosophical research on the nature of mind. Anyone who wanted to pursue it, the easiest introduction is Philosophy and Cognitive Science, Second Edition. Philosophy and Cognitive Science, Second Edition, some regard it as the best introduction to cognitive science. I wrote it to complement much more massive works on AI, its scope and limits, for example, and other works I've done in this field, which you seldom hear about on this show, but is reflected by my curriculum vitae and the fact I have, 24 plus books in the areas of scholarly research on the theoretical foundations of computer science, artificial intelligence, cognitive science, and evolution and mentality. Indeed, my book on the evolution of intelligence, Are Humans the Only Animals with Minds, I would highly recommend if you were able to track it down. I mean, just pick up a used copy, if you can find one, of either of those books. I think you'll be glad you did. Meanwhile, there's another at the bottom of the page. Senate negotiators agree on modest gun curbs. School safety, mental health funds included. Well, that's a most welcome development. Pelosi was even assuring people they're going to have another assault gun ban until it turned out that there were 15 Democrats, where she only has a 12-vote majority in the House, explained they were opposed to any assault gun ban. So that was rolled back. I'm not happy about any increases here. We have more than enough laws on the books about guns, and we know for a certainty taking guns away from law-abiding citizens is not going to make them more secure. As Dave Hodges has so frequently emphasized, there were 19 democides, that is the slaughter of whole societies by their own governments during the 20th century, each of which was preceded by gun confiscation. We can't let America become number 20. But here's a key article in the Tell that this is a totally corrupt publication coming from the Associated Press, which, in case you do not know, is like Reuters, owned by the Rothschild banking industry. They know the key to their success in manipulating public opinion is to control the mainstream media. Gen 6 panel, Trump focus of the next session. Members' evidence could back indictment, Washington. Members of the House committee investigating the Capitol riot said Sunday they have uncovered enough evidence for the Justice Department to consider an unprecedented criminal indictment against former President Donald Trump for seeking to overturn the results of the 2020 election. The committee announced that Trump's campaign manager, Bill Stephen, of whom I previously never heard, is among the witnesses scheduled to testify at a hearing Monday that focuses on Trump's effort to spread his lies. Notice, they got to tell us whether it's true or false, so they knew the difference. His lies about a stolen election. Stephen was subpoenaed for his public testimony. As the hearings unfold, Representative Adam Schiff said he would like the department to investigate any credible allegation of criminal activity on the part of Donald Trump. Schiff, a Democrat from California, also leads the House Intelligence Committee, said there are certain actions, parts of those, and here I got to skip to the later page, scars of those different lines of effort to uncover the election, overturn the election, that I don't see evidence the Justice Department is investigating. Well, you can count on Merrick Garland, who's complete, you know, as Attorney General, is demonstrating conclusively why it would have been a calamity for him to have been appointed to the Supreme Court, is, you know, dutifully carrying out every wish the Democrats could ever have. They know they have nothing going into the election. They know with skyrocketing gas prices, massive inflation, flooding the borders, supply chain problems, food shortages. Believe me, it's going to get very, very serious. Every fumbling act that's been undertaken by this fake president, and by the way, if you want to understand what's been happening since this guy, this phony Biden, came into office, canceling the XL pipeline and rescinding permits to drill on federal land, where Donald Trump had remarkably made the nation energy independent, in order to destroy that. So we're now dependent on foreign sources for energy, and no one wants to deal with Biden. Everyone sees him as a clown. They have nothing else to go on. They're going to try to demonize Trump right up to November midterm election, when they expect to be wiped out, and where I'm anticipating they're going to attempt to preempt that possibility by one of two moves. First, as I understand it, the vax includes these little encapsulated blood-like things that if they're hit with 5G at certain frequencies repeatedly, they're going to cause you to bleed from every orifice to simulate Marburg's, which is a very serious kind of infection, and impose a lockdown. And once they impose the lockdown nationwide, of course, you'll only be able to vote by mail, where in fact it's going to be, you know, 2020 all over again. Or alternatively, they're going to try to create more incidents like the fake shooting at Uvalde or the even more phony event at Buffalo, to follow in the path blazed by Sandy Hook and Parkland, among others, to impose some kind of martial law. And believe me, one of the reasons for bringing in all these migrants is to replenish those that are kicking out of our military, who are American forces who would not fire on American troops, by bringing in a bunch of Nicaraguans, El Salvadorians, Hondurans, and all that, who are going to be, they're going to claim they'll make them citizens and give them military training, who would be perfectly willing to fire on the American people. That's part of what this is all about. But of course, they got to take our guns, and it ain't happening. We have, I don't know, I'm going to guess, maybe half the country now may be armed. It's up from 130 million, I have no doubt, because after each of these shootings, more Americans who were hesitant to go out and buy guns for the first time. So they're going to have a hard time. And if you got 15 Democrats who aren't willing to go along with Nancy Pelosi bullshit, she's in deep trouble. Well, here we have some more accurate reports on what's going on here. Get this. Jan 6 panel has few records on Trump's action during the hyped 187 minutes. The House January 6 Select Committee has very few records to show what former President Donald Trump did between calling supporters to peacefully protest at the Capitol and then telling them to leave, one panel member said Sunday. In what committee members have claimed was 187 minutes on January 6, 2021, Trump's alleged actions have been pieced together largely on witness testimony rather than documentation. Representative Elaine Loria, Democrat of Virginia, explained during an interview on Meet the Press. Laura was asked whether the committee will provide a TikTok to show what Trump was doing minute by minute during the time span while demonstrators attacked the Capitol. Actually, a lot of them were just let in by the police. I mean, it's ridiculous how they're exaggerating all this, but then that's the core of propaganda. Special pleading, only present the evidence favorable to your side and suppress or eliminate the rest, hence also known as selection and elimination, and exaggerate whatever you have at hand. Well, I think it'd be more clear to describe it as what he was not doing, panel member Loria told host Chuck Todd. You know, it's been reported previously that the phone logs at the White House on that date, they're missing information. There's a gap there. We've tried, you know, through these witnesses, we've interviewed 1,000 witnesses, a lot of people who were directly in the White House for the president in his immediate vicinity during that day. Laura added that investigators have pieced together a very comprehensive TikTok timeline of what he did. It's a complex process to piece together. You know, we have 187 minutes, very few records, the congresswoman said. Everyone who has come to speak to the committee that has direct evidence of that time frame has been very helpful in piecing it together. I can't say that there's one person in particular. The 187-minute span hyped by the January 6th committee includes the time between when Trump, speaking on the Ellipse near the White House, called on supporters to peacefully protest at the Capitol, and the 4:17 p.m. video telling them to leave. In between those two events, Trump tweeted twice saying, "Please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They are truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful," at 2:38 p.m., and then saying, "I am asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful, no violence. Remember, we are the party of law and order. Respect the law and our great men and women in blue. Thank you," at 3:13. At 4:17, Trump posted a video telling the attackers, "You have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order." Given just that evidence, how could anyone claim, even in their wildest dreams, that Donald Trump was inciting an insurrection? Inciting an insurrection. He's telling them repeatedly to peacefully protest and then telling them to leave. He's asking them to respect law and order. Remember, we are the party of law and order. It's very clear. The only way they can make a case against Trump is to trump it up. Yes, there's the pun. Trump it up. Representative Liz Cheney, Republican of Wyoming, one of two anti-Trump Republicans on the committee. They wouldn't let stalwarts like Jim Jordan, who would have ripped them a new one. They wouldn't have got away with any of this. In December, said Trump refused to act for 187 minutes when action by our president was required. It was essential, and it was compelled by his oath to our Constitution. There's Liz Cheney in the pattern, in the tradition of her father, Dick, who ran the 9/11 operation from a bunker beneath the White House. I mean, it's just absolutely stunning. If you have any doubt about it, check out Michael Rupert's magisterial work crossing the Rubicon, where he put together from publicly available sources, all open source, that Dick Cheney had been running 9/11 on the ground from that underground bunker beneath the White House. I'm reminded of when I was interviewed by Hannity and Combs the first time, and Ollie North was sitting in for Sean. And I called my wife when I learned that that was the case. I was about to be the keynote speaker at Alex Jones American Scholars Conference on 9/11 in Los Angeles the following day. And I said, honey, look, it's just going to be a casual conversation between two former Marine Corps officers. And she said, don't kid yourself. They're going to try to kill you. So I had them bring in a TV screen while I was in the weight room. And when I heard Ellen Combs say, you're not going to believe what your students are being taught by their professors, I knew they had been playing me when they told me, the producer, that they wanted to learn what Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which I had founded, had discovered about 9/11. But I also knew they didn't know enough about what was going on to get it right. So I was able to seize control of the program from the beginning when Alan Combs asked me, is this a required course or an elective? And I explained, well, I don't have a course. He said, you don't have a course? No, I said, I have classes in critical thinking where we discuss issues like, you know, the war in Iraq and, you know, the assassination of JFK and the like. But I don't have a course as such. And he says, you're sure you don't have a course? No, I'm not aware of any course on 9/11 as such, but I think it's a great idea. There's lots of material for such a course. And subsequently, he would ask, did I have any reason to think anyone in the administration knew anything about 9/11, such as Dick Cheney specifically? Yes. And he said, yes, I'm glad you asked. That Norman Mineta's testimony before the 9/11 Commission, which, by the way, they excluded from their final report. He explained how he was in this underground bunker and observed an aide to Cheney come up and say, sir, it's 50 miles out. Sir, it's 40 miles out. Sir, it's 30 miles out. Do the orders still stand? And Cheney whipped around and said, yes, have you heard anything to the contrary? The order had to be not to shoot down a plane that was approaching the Pentagon. After all, that would have been the thing to do. We already knew planes were being used as weapons in New York City, and now you had one that was approaching the Pentagon. So shooting it down is obviously the right thing to do. You lose the passengers in the plane, but you do not lose personnel and the property of the target. But the order was to not shoot it down. And indeed, what they did was to use that plane to fly toward the Pentagon. And it was north of the Citgo station, whereas the official approach we're told about was south. It flew toward the building, and then when a gigantic explosion occurred from a missile fired by an unmanned aerial vehicle into the west wing, blew up over the Pentagon to make it appear as though a plane had actually crashed into the Pentagon. All four of those crash sites were fabricated or faked. I've explained this in detail. But coincidentally, here you had Alan Combs asking me, did I have any evidence that Dick Cheney had been involved? And I was able to lay it out. By the way, you can find that online. Go to, you know, Hannity and Combs, Jim Fetzer, June 2006. Then they brought me back again with Sean. I guess he thought he could do a better job. He fumbled it about as badly as had Ollie. And then, of course, this guy O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly, decided he wanted to take a whack. That was months later. You can find all three of them. Take a look and assess how you think I did. Meanwhile, Cheney accused Trump of dereliction of duty by reading text messages submitted by former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows showed allies asking the president to take action during the attack. Well, he did. He was telling everyone to be peaceful, for crying out loud. Here we got Jim Jordan observing that the January 6th committee didn't reveal anything new, but more strikingly, Alan Dershowitz, January 6th panel, doctored the tape, edited out Trump's words. This is very, very serious. So he got this old black guy by the name of Thompson, who's giving this very serious sounding indictment of Donald Trump. And because he's black and elderly, we're all supposed to swoon. But it was all bullshit. Get this. Constitutional law expert Alan Dershowitz told Newsmax on Friday that the January 6th committee's public hearing Thursday night was not a fair proceeding and that was one-sided and unethical. Take, for example, President Trump's speech on January 6th, Dershowitz said, on Spicer and Company. He said at the end of the speech he wanted people to show their voices patriotically and peacefully. They doctored the tape. They edited those words out. If a prosecutor ever did that, they'd be disbarred. You can't present part of the tape and deliberately omit the rest of the tape in order to mislead an audience, especially when the other side has no opportunity to cross-examine, no opportunity to present its own evidence. Citing data from Nielsen Media Research, the New York Post reports, more than 20 million Americans tuned into Thursday night's primetime hearing by the House Select Committee investigating last year's Capitol attack, a larger figure than watched this year's Academy Awards, but actually only about half of what watched Biden's inaugural address. So it's not getting a big play. According to the Post, Thursday's public hearing was the first of six the committee plans to hold in the coming weeks. And remember, they're going to space this out. They're trying to lay, you know, the groundwork for the midterm election, trying to persuade people they shouldn't vote for Republicans, that they shouldn't dump the Democrats, when they're actually reinforcing the reasons why they should dump the Democrats. They're despicable, unethical liars, phonies, and frauds. And their own presentation demonstrated, as Dershowitz is calling them out here. When a mob of protesters stormed the Capitol to disrupt the certification of Joe Biden's victory in the Electoral College. Well, we know, actually at the time, and this is part of how we know Nancy Pelosi coordinated the whole bloody thing, Trump had repeatedly offered to send troops to secure the Capitol during the electoral count in the great chamber of the House of Representatives. But Nancy Pelosi turned it down. He repeatedly offered. She turned it down. Why? Because she had a different agenda in mind. And in fact, the timing was such that it disrupted discussion of election fraud. It was at the very point when they were discussing election fraud, evidence this had been manipulated, that it occurred. That was the point, too, to disrupt the discussion of election fraud and to create a pretext for going after Trump on the specious grounds that he'd incited an insurrection when there was no incitement, no insurrection. I've repeated before, go to the Federalist. There's a brilliant article about it. Now there was no incitement and no insurrection. You want to reread that. Dershowitz went on to say that if the leader of Black Lives Matter had been arrested for inciting violence because the speech they made led to violence, he would defend them on the ground that the First Amendment protects advocacy, but it doesn't protect incitement. So President Trump committed no crimes, he said. Anybody who thinks that he did fails to understand the First Amendment. And of course, that's exactly what the Democrats are doing here. As I have repeatedly explained many, many times, the timeline doesn't fit. Trump didn't finish speaking at the Ellipse until 1:11. The Ellipse is a mile and a half away from the Capitol. Therefore, the Trump supporters who are going to stay and linger and listen to every last word of the president, even then hoping he might give a reprise, a few additional remarks, no Trump supporter who is at the Ellipse would have left before 1:11. But the events at the Capitol began to unfold at 12:45. By 12:55, they were already calling for reinforcement. There was already kinds of interaction and clashing. And by noon, already, this event was well in progress. I have, by the way, if you go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, look for, you know, what happened at the Capitol on January 6th, there's a 21-minute video that shows the whole thing was orchestrated and that even the shooting of Ashley Babbitt was fake. They had to have a purported death so they could call it a deadly insurrection. And would you believe they've even got a Hollywood, an ABC producer here, and they're using teleprompters during the January 6th hearing. Teleprompters. It's all scripted. It's all phony. It's all fake. Here we have himself, Trump, slamming the House committee hacks for their January 6th spin. He's completely in the right. Former President Donald Trump blasted the House January 6th Select Committee for its biased negative primetime hearing on Thursday night. Trump took to social media after Nancy Pelosi's January 6th panel held its first public hearing on national TV. The proceedings did not include any cross-examination or contradictory testimony. In fact, it was massively edited. This was manufactured. This is a made-for-television production. A former president railed against the committee's members, Democrats and two anti-Trump Republicans, for hiring former ABC executive James Goldston to help produce a one-sided show. So the Unselect Committee of Political Hacks refuses to play any of the many positive witnesses and statements, refuses to talk of the election fraud and irregularities that took place on a massive scale, and decided to use a documentary maker from fake news ABC to spin only negative footage. Our country is in such trouble, he posted Thursday on his Social Truth channel. I'm 100% with Trump. This is all completely ridiculous and outrageous. There's nothing to justify it. Trump Friday morning slammed the committee for suggesting he supported protesters for chanting "Hang then President Mike Pence." I never said or even thought of saying "Hang Mike Pence." This is either a made-up story by somebody looking to become a star or fake news. He's got it exactly right. Fake news. But we're getting it from the Wisconsin State Journal. We're getting it from the mainstream media. We're getting it from the January 6th Commission. The country is in such a state of political decay. The corruption is so manifest, I hardly recognize a country I grew up in. This is a disgrace. Right back after this break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Going upstairs to replenish my coffee, my wife had an MSNBC on, to which she is addicted, and they were showing now a second public hearing, and actually, to my surprise, they were showing some contrary evidence while I was there. Rudy Giuliani was talking about how Philadelphia must have been embarrassed that they only cast 8,932 votes from dead people, and went on to explain how it's easier to cast votes by people who are dead. The ways they stole this election were absolutely stunning. They used the names of all kinds of voters who should have long since been purged off of the ballots, but they also, of course, did this massive ballot harvesting exposed by Dinesh D'Souza's 2,000 mules, where the actual number of mules is probably upward of 40,000, not just 2,000. And they were averaging like 25. They were dropping off at various ballot box, a minimum of 5 ballots each time they dropped off. I mean, it was just staggering. Where D'Souza has now challenged the 9/11 Commission to report, run his video, and refute it. Because this is all predicated on the proposition that the theft of the election was a false claim when it was a fact. There is no question about it. My God, how many reports have I done about it? So this is to continue this piece about Trump's reaction. Select committee members are trying to connect Trump's efforts to challenge the 2020 presidential election results to the Capitol attack. The so-called rush on the Capitol was not caused by me, It was caused by a rigged and stolen election, Trump posted Friday morning. Thursday night's hearing included some never-before-seen video footage of the mayhem, as well as testimony from witnesses. Fact-checking showed that Representative Liz Cheney, Republican of Wyoming, was incorrect when she claimed then-President Trump did not condemn the attack. And, of course, that's what she does. She's a professional liar in the family tradition. Actually, Trump did condemn the violence in a video Twitter quickly blocked, along with an Oval Office address a week later. How disgusting is that? Elon Musk, of course, is revealing Twitter to be itself practicing fraudulent business activities by pretending to have vastly more participants on Twitter than it actually has. Cheney also used Trump's words of love in the air out of context, as a committee showed protesters breaching the Capitol building on January 6, 2021. Trump spoke those words about the Stop the Steal rally, not to describe the people breaching the Capitol. Look how they're just fabricating lies, lies, lies. I mean, it's unbelievably disgusting. Earlier Thursday, Trump said the January 6, 2021 protests represented the greatest movement in this history of our country to make America great again. The Unselect Committee didn't spend 1 minute studying the reason that people went to Washington, D.C. in massive numbers, far greater than the fake news media is willing to report, he posted on Truth Social, or that the Unselects are willing to even mention. Because January 6th was not simply a protest, it represented the greatest movement in the history of our country to make America great again. It was about an election that was rigged and stolen, and a country that was about to go to hell. And look at our country now. By God, he's got it right. One of the most surprising and indeed disappointing aspects of the presentation was that Ivanka, whom I thought was, you know, a pretty good person, but who I think they used pheromones to induce her to fall in love with this Jared Kushner type, whom I'm relatively convinced is almost certainly Mossad. Ivanka turns on daddy. But according to reader-supported news, which is a far-left outlet, she's just looking out for number one, as usual. So they put on a big screen during a public hearing of the House January 6th Committee, Ivanka. And here's what you get. Et tu, Ivanka, the author writes. Et tu, Brutus. The writing has been on the wall for a while now, but it seems Ivanka Trump finally did it. She turned against her daddy. On Thursday, we learned that the former White House advisor told the congressional panel investigating the insurrection at the Capitol on 6 January 2021 that she doesn't believe her father's false claim that the 2020 election was stolen from him. In a video deposition that was shown during the first hearing to the panel, Ivanka states she accepted the explanations of the then Attorney General Bill Barr to Donald Trump that there wasn't any evidence of voter fraud and that he'd lost the election fair and square. I respect Attorney General Barr, so I accepted what he was saying, Ivanka said. Well, this is pathetic. What Ivanka does or doesn't believe is independent of the truth. That's her personal subjective opinion. We'll grant her that. But relying on Bill Barr, how stupid, how dumb, how absolutely irresponsible of Ivanka. You'd think in all the years in the White House, she would have learned to become a bit more sophisticated about all of this, but obviously not. This is embarrassing to the max, embarrassing to the max. Remember, right off the bat, Sidney Powell was tweeting how before they stopped the election and changed the votes, it was very clear what was going to happen. She even published a map that showed the country virtually red from coast to coast, where even California and Minnesota went for Trump, which I was predicting, and that he'd actually won with 410 electoral votes. I believe that was an accurate report to this day. and I've seen no evidence to contradict it. An investigation that had been going on, all kinds of exposés, including Mike Medell's three-day marathon where he presented proof after proof of the theft of the election. Obviously, it has no impact on Democrats because their mind's made up and they don't want to be bothered with facts. The existence of their very party hinges on the outcome of the midterms, where they are going to be obliterated if we have anything remotely constituting a fair election. And that's after 2020, we have to understand. That becomes a serious question. Are Americans going to be permanently enjoined from exercising the right to vote? Is this no longer a democracy, but an autocracy or a plutocracy where the rich and powerful, the Democrats and their allies, are able to manage every outcome of every election? We shall see. But that it's even an issue worthy of discussion and debate indicates the depth of the trouble we're in as a republic, and the Constitution, which is being violated by the Democrats regularly with the impunity. They have embraced the view of W, that the Constitution is just a goddamn piece of paper. That's a Democrat's view. Anyone who continues to support them really is acting out of profound ignorance or spite for the nation. Meanwhile, the likely next House admin panel chair delivers J6 committee document preservation demand. This is a guy, Representative Rodney Davis, a Republican from Illinois, who seems to be a serious guy, demanding that the January 6 committee preserve its documents. This is significant. Representative Rodney Davis, Republican of Illinois, who's likely to become chairman of the House Administration Committee in 2023 if Republicans regain the majority in the chamber in November, demanded in a letter on June 9th to Representative Benny Thompson, Democrat of Mississippi, that was a elderly black guy who is making all these solemn pronouncements, virtually every single one of which was false. The chairman of the House Select Committee to investigate the January 6th breach of the Capitol, that the panel preserve all of its records. The letter from Davis, the current ranking GOP member of the Administration Committee, came just hours before the January 6th panel's first primetime hearing. An unnamed aide reportedly told journalists earlier in the day evidence would be presented showing that then-President Donald Trump was at the center of an effort to prevent the transfer of power from him to incoming President Joe Biden. I mean, this is as ridiculous as it gets. In an unusually detailed and lengthy preservation demand, Davis told Thompson, "I write today to demand your cooperation in preserving all records produced by or in the position of the Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol Select Committee. Given the ongoing questions concerning the Select Committee's compliance with federal law and House rules, it is vital that the Select Committee preserve those records so that effective oversight may be undertaken. Please preserve in complete unredacted form all information in possession of the Select Committee or reasonably available to the Select Committee, including but not limited to all written correspondence and memoranda, emails, calendar entries, to-do list entries, telephone system records, logs, and transcripts, including all for all cell phones, pagers, landlines, and other electronic devices, voicemails, text messages, instant messages, postings on social media, blogs, and under internet sites, message board, and chat room transcripts." Davis continued, demanding that Thompson also preserve audio recordings, including but not limited to radio transmission, video recordings, included but not limited to security camera footage, captured still images, electronically accessible or stored files, documents, or other papers containing such information, presentations, such information stored on any and all media or storage devices, including but not limited to optical discs, hard drives, solid-state drives, portable storage and remote or cloud storage, all versions or copies of any record, and any other information related to the select committee's activities, no matter how stored. Now, he's having to be so detailed and specific because otherwise they'll take anything not mentioned and just destroy it outright. They're already going to go ahead and destroy everything in violation of this demand. Have no doubt about it. These are the Democrats we're talking about. These are not honest American citizens. In fact, they couldn't give a crap about honest American citizens. They're only concerned about preserving and extending their own power. The January 6th panel has been a center of controversy almost to the day it was announced in 2021 by Speaker of the House Pelosi, who appointed all the current members after unilaterally barring two Republicans, Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio and Representative Jim Banks of Indiana, from serving on it, despite their having been named for the appointment by House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California. This was an unprecedented act for the Speaker to preempt the right of the minority to appoint members to a committee like this. Absolutely outrageous. But she knew her goal would be frustrated if Jim Jordan and Jim Banks were there, because they'd rip it up. They'd expose this whole thing as a charade. This is nothing but political theater. Banks told reporters during a January 6, 2022 House GOP news conference, the Democrats who control the January 6 panel aren't investigating January 6. That is already abundantly clear. They are trying to use this select committee as a Trojan horse to abolish the Electoral College, to intimidate President Trump's aides, to block him from ever appearing on the ballot again, and to prevent his supporters from participating in American democracy. He's got it right. Banks also declared Pelosi has yet to explain why she didn't request the National Guard troops made available by Trump 2 days prior to the protest at the U.S. Capitol that resulted in one death and hundreds of injuries to law enforcement officers and protesters. As I've already explained, that one death appears to have been fabricated. I even have photographs of Ashley Babbitt, or who appears to be Ashley Babbitt, alive and well, and in a wetsuit. She's, you know, she's enjoying life. She just can't make a public appearance where it's going to wind up in the news. And of course, the hundreds of injuries. She didn't want the National Guard to be there. She wanted to create a situation of mayhem so she could catapult it, as they're doing right now before our very eyes. The Jan 6 panel has issued hundreds of subpoenas and interviewed nearly 1,000 individuals in connection with a Capitol breach. Republicans questioned the panel's legitimacy because it was authored in a House vote to five GOP members appointed by McCarthy. But after rejecting Banks and Jordan, Pelosi selected Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming and Adam Kissinger of Illinois, who both voted to impeach Trump. Long-established congressional procedure required the leader of the minority party to determine which members of his or her caucus serve on committee, which, as I've observed, Pelosi grossly violated. I mean, this is unconscionable. This is unprecedented. But they're desperate. And desperate people will do desperate things. It's happening. It's playing out on television before your very eyes. Davis's preservation demand letter also directed Thompson to preserve a lengthy list of other documents, including draft and final versions of all committee memoranda, whether completed or not, all threat assessments or other intel reports given to the committee, all social media posts made by members and staff, they're the committee servers and networks, those made through other servers and networks, memorandum of agreement with all witnesses, and a complete list of all committee staffers, detainees, detailees, interns, contractors, and consultants as of January 1st, 2021, and as of June 8th, 2022. Copies of the letter were delivered to Pelosi and other members of the January 6th panel, and Representative Zoe Lofgren of California, the current head of the House Administrative Committee. A spokesman for the select committee couldn't be reached by press time for a comment on Davis's letter. Well, Nancy Pelosi is shitting bricks. All this, if he gets to be restored, if the midterm goes as scheduled, if he has the opportunity to expose the corruption involved here by this very committee, is going to be manifest. It is overwhelming. It is blatant. It is compelling, and it is repulsive, completely repulsive. Meanwhile, I mentioned the House passes a gun bill, raises age limit, bans ammo. That's in the House. I'll bet the age limit thing isn't going to play in the Senate. Stand by. The House passed a wide-ranging gun control bill. Remember, this is the House. In response to recent mass shooting in Buffalo, New York, and Uvalde, Texas, that would raise the age limit for purchasing a semi-automatic rifle and prohibit the sale of ammunition magazines with a capacity of more than 15 rounds. The vote on the age upgrade was 228 to 199, mostly along party lines, but with 10 Republicans voting yes alongside other Democratic colleagues. Those were Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, Anthony Gonzalez of Ohio, Chris Jacobs, New York, John Ketko, New York, Adam Kinzinger, Illinois, Nicole Militakis, New York, Maria Salazar, Florida, Chris Smith, New Jersey, Michael Turner, Ohio, Fred Upton, Michigan. I regard that as those are 10 individuals who ought to be turned out, get rid of. The measure has almost no chance of becoming law as the Senate pursues negotiations focused on improving mental health, bolstering school security, and enhanced background checks. But a House bill does allow Democrat lawmakers a chance to frame for voters where they stand on policies polls show are widely supported. I doubt that. We can't save every life, but my God, shouldn't we try? America, we hear you, and today in the House, we're taking the action you are demanding, said Republican Veronica Escobar of Texas. Take note of who is with you and who is not. Well, I dare say they got this all wrong. They're massively ignorant or simply deliberately prevaricating. Research shows, and I've done a lot of it. Millions of times every single year, Americans use guns to defend themselves from criminals. The defensive use of guns is completely ignored, never mentioned by the mainstream media or by the Democrats. They don't talk about it any more than they talk about the overwhelming preponderance of crimes in the United States are committed by blacks, not by whites. All the defunding the police movement was motivated by focusing on a tiny number of cases. This is special pleading or selection and elimination, exemplified to a T, which occurs a minuscule number of cases. Do whites shoot blacks? The number of blacks who shoot whites is over 10 times as great. The number of whites who shoot whites about the same. But the number of blacks who kill blacks using guns, 55, 60 times higher. I mean, it's predominant in the United States, all over the place. The pattern is unmistakable. Look at Chicago. If you think taking guns away from law-abiding people is going to make the law-abiding citizens more safe, just look at Chicago, which has the most strict gun control laws in the nation and the worst gun violence rate. Unbelievable. Indeed, a recent survey showed that if you put together the school shootings from Sandy Hook on, you're talking about, and these are fake numbers because these were staged events where nobody died, with the possible exception of the Stephen Paddock. They did have a body in the suite there, but no one even died in Las Vegas. You get up to around 147 in that category. But you put together the mass shootings going on all over the country, ye gods. You get that in a couple of weekends in Chicago. So Democrats aren't focusing on the real problem with guns, which doesn't have anything to do with AR-15s. It has everything to do with handguns. But we already have the laws on the books. The fact of the matter is criminals aren't going to give up their guns. You think you have a gun confiscation policy, you're going to take them away from criminals? Don't bet your life. You're going to give them free fire zones, which is what the Democrats do all over the country. My brilliant colleague, Dr. Ewan, imposed a 2016 electoral map over a 2014 murder distribution map. And surprise, surprise, the areas where you have the greatest gun violence are all areas controlled by the Democrats. They're creating free fire zones. So perps know that if they go out and start shooting somebody, they're not going to have to worry about a nosy civilian staying away around who happens to have a concealed carry, because the Democrats have very thoughtfully removed that obstacle to their performing their criminal acts. And then you have these progressive DAs, like in San Francisco, which, of course, is Nancy Pelosi's home turf, being turned out of office because he just had a revolving door for criminals. He was announcing they weren't even going to prosecute looting up to around $1,000. So we had caravans of these thugs going into high-end stores and looting them again and again, and no prosecution because this MF DA wouldn't do his duty. Well, the Democrats, even the Democrats in San Francisco, is like 97% Democrats had had enough. That's a bad omen. That's a sign Nancy Pelosi is in deep trouble. She is as desperate as anyone could be. Meanwhile, the push for gun control, this is in the House again, comes after a House committee heard wrenching testimony from recent shooting victims and family members. An 11-year-old girl, Mariah Cirillo, covered herself with a dead classmate's blood to avoid being shot at Uvalde Elementary School. Think about that. How fake is that? You think an 11-year-old girl, even if this shooting had been real, would cover herself with someone else's blood? They'd be horrified. They wouldn't want to be anywhere near the blood. This is stupid and insulting. You got to go to my blog, BitChute Channel Jim Fetzer, my video blog, BitChute Channel Jim Fetzer, and watch the presentation about what I have to tell you about Uvalde, and then supplemented by the fake parents. No one is shedding a single tear. It's all completely phony, completely fake. They're being paid to do this. Unbelievably bad. All phony, all fake. I give you the evidence. That's what I do. I give you the evidence. So go there. Check it out. BitChute Channel Jim Fetzer. Meanwhile, the seemingly never-ending cycle of mass shootings in the United States had rarely stirred Congress to act. But the shooting of 19 children and two teachers in Uvalde has revived efforts in a way that it's lawmakers from both parties talking about the need to respond. We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance.
and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, here's one of the ironies of the situation. The big networks are seeing a huge ratings decline with a January 6 hearing. Surprise, surprise. CBS, NBC, and ABC, which switched their regular primetime programming to air the House Select Committee January 6 first public hearing Thursday evening, saw a huge ratings decline, according to Nielsen figures. ABC, whose fall schedule normally includes Grey's Anatomy at 8 p.m., took in the biggest haul of viewers with 4.8 million, while NBC and CBS carried 3.5 and 3.3, respectively. The three outlets typically average 18 million collectively during prime time, according to Adweek's analysis of weekly TV ratings for the week of May 30th, according to reports in The Federalist. ABC World News Tonight with David Muir averaged 7.4 million total viewers the week of May 30th. NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt averaged 6.06 total viewers for the same week. President Biden's State of the Union address in March drew 6.3 million for ABC, 4.86 million for CBS, and 4.71 million for NBC. The committee asserts former President Trump was at the center of a conspiracy to overturn the 2020 election. All completely nonsense. Meanwhile, an update. An estimated 20 million watched a January 6 committee primetime across 12 networks. The audience breakdown showed viewership among those 55 and older was 15.2 million, an estimated 3.6 in the 35 to 54 in less than a million, 834,000 among 18 to 34-year-olds. The figures include out-of-home viewing and connected TV viewing. It does not include PBS. By contrast, Biden's State of the Union address in March drew about 38 million, but viewers were also likely exposed to portions of the hearing via social media clips and news coverage following. And here we have a photograph showing they're using teleprompters. This is all just outrageous beyond belief. They are faking all of this, and they're using an ABC producer in order to give it what they think is a Hollywood sophisticated veneer. But it's not working. I mean, this is really, really bad what's going on. Really bad. Meanwhile, those who are getting media time are exposing the hypocrisy. Here we have, for example, we have CNN's Anna Navarro flips out, which confronted with simple facts about gun violence. This is during a conversation with Anna Navarro and co-hosts of CNN Tonight about the tragic shooting in Navarro, Jonah Goldberg. And I've had mixed feelings about Jonah, but I actually wrote him about this and sent him what I found out about Uvalde, which you can find on my BitChute channel. We'll see if he or anyone else responds, but I'm certainly reaching out. Attempted to put America's problem with mass shooting into perspective by citing accurate statistics on gun violence. This did not go over well. Goldberg, editor-in-chief of the Dispatch, said that while he shares the moral outrage many may feel over how horrific and just morally repugnant these slaughters are, it's wrong to tell parents they should be paralyzed with fear about their own kids. If we're going to start telling people they should be scared that this is going to happen to them, then we should at least put this into perspective. Noting that there are roughly 54 million children in school in America, and 170 have been killed in school shootings in the last 29 years. Get that, in the last 29 years. Goldberg went on to argue, if we're going to tell people they should be terrified about their kids being dropped off at school, we should remind them their kids are more in danger on the drive to school statistically than they are at the school. At this, Navarro responded, a child's life should not be a statistic. That's moral bullying, Goldberg argued. I'm making a basic point to say you shouldn't tell people they should be terrified. Moral bullying or not, Navarro was on a roll. It's been 10 years since Sandy Hook, and that we haven't done anything is a national shame, she ranted. So paralyzed with fear and paralyzed with acceptance and resignation is what we've been for the last 10 years, and it's enough of that. No more paralysis. Get your asses in gear and call your senator. That's fine. I'm doing analysis. I'm not doing activism, Goldberg replied. On the Rubin Report Wednesday, Blaze TV host Dave Rubin shared a video clip of a heated exchange and talked about why liberal gun control advocates like Navarro need to keep people in the dark about the facts of the matter, which include what I've been citing here about the defensive use of guns. Not only that, but interpersonal violence, gun violence, has been steadily dropping since a peak in 1963, which, of course, was the year of the assassination of JFK in public, in Dealey Plaza, in Dallas, Texas. It's been steadily dropping. It's roughly half the rate it was in 1963. So everything we're being told by the mainstream is absurd and ridiculous. I don't know if you'll be able to pick this up, but Biden went on Jimmy Kimmel, and it was just a disaster. Listen to this.
There's a lot of major things we've done.
Such as?
But what we haven't done is we haven't been able to communicate it in a way.
Well, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
That is, let me say another way.
Well, see, that's kind of perfect. Yeah, well, we've been able to communicate.
But look how the press has changed. Mm-hmm. Look how the press has changed.
It has changed. Oh, listen, I get it.
I know you overstand it. Yeah. You don't just understand it, you overstand it. But here's the deal. One of the things is that it's very difficult now to have a...
get to the point.
Even... with no,
come on, hurry up, old man.
No exceptions. Even the really good reporters, they have to get number of clicks on the nightly news.
Mm-hmm.
Play the radio. Make sure the television. Excuse me. Make sure you have the record player on it.
So instead of asking a question, Anyway, it just everything gets sensationalized in ways that, but I'm convinced we can get through this. We have to get through it. And one of the things, look,
I'm going to take a break, and then we'll talk a little bit more.
I don't blame
mind. You. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We have some of this commercial.
We had anticipated a margin for error. Everything is fine.
Just ridiculous. This man should not be allowed out in public. He disgraces himself. He's an embarrassment that they put him on Jimmy Kimmel. Give me a break. That was a ridiculous, ridiculous thing to do. But if you thought that was bad, get this. UK school children to be fed bugs to stop climate change. Now, Joe Olson, he was a brilliant guy, an engineer qualified across the board, and I've done a series about climate change, anti-global warming, explaining the whole damn thing is a hoax. It's a gigantic hoax. This whole carbon business, CO2, it's ridiculous. In order for there to be a causal connection between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and global warming, there would have to be a correlation. The more CO2, the greater the temperature. The less CO2, the less the temperature. But there is no such correlation. Over 600 million years of Earth's history, there is no correlation between the temperature of the Earth and the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. None. Even in, when there are correlations, as in the case of vaccines and autism, the big pharma argues endlessly that it's not causally related. Even though it's a perfect correlation, the more vaccines, the more autism, the less vaccines, the less autism. Similarly with smoking and cancer. The tobacco industry argued forever, endlessly, that smoking did not cause cancer, even though there was a correlation that was very powerful and overwhelming. It would take forever before they were acknowledged they were wrong. Well, get this. They're using this completely phony argument about climate change, and I encourage you, again, go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and check out the climate change I'm doing with Joe Olson. Joe Olson. Get this. Scientists will use UK school children as guinea pigs, having organized workshops where bugs will be served as food to see the response to eating what they're euphemistically calling alternative proteins. We want the children to think about alternative proteins as real things for now rather than just as food for the future. So trying some of these foods is central to the research, said Cardiff University Professor Christopher Bear. I wonder how much Bear is being paid to do all this nonsense. Although edible insects are for now not sold widely in the UK, they form part of the diet of around 2 billion people worldwide. Much of this is in parts of the world where they are part of long-standing culinary traditions. And they are increasingly popular elsewhere. Right, eating bugs, increasingly popular. According to researchers, the pilot program will see 4 schools in Wales try to normalize eating bugs and hope to persuade parents to adopt a change of diet in the home to help promote a greener United Kingdom by reducing meat consumption. Additionally, the insect product on the menu, Vexo, V-E-X-O, is conveniently designed to appear like minced meat, which will likely play a role in whether kids buy into it. According to the head teacher of Roche Community Primary, it is R-O-C-H, might as well be R-O-A-C-H, Community Primary School in Pembrokeshire, one of the 4 schools that will soon feed students insects. He believes that children share his concerns over sustainable development. I wonder why that is. Why would he think students care about sustainable development? They don't even have the concept. This is so stupid beyond belief. He further welcomes the opportunity to help his students develop critical thinking to make sense of a confusing decision, including whether to eat bugs or not, and sustainable citizenship again. Ask any student if they want to eat bugs, and they're going to vomit. They're going to be repulsed. They're going to say, give me a break. F no, they're going to say. This is just ridiculous. So they're trying to con him into eating what bugs that looks like minced meat. They're going to fake him out. They're going to deceive them. They're going to lie to them. This is as improper as giving an experimental vax to citizens without telling them, without gaining informed consent. These students are being used as guinea pigs. They need to have informed consent. We're doing an experiment with insects that made up to look like mincemeat to see if you can tolerate it. But of course, they're not going to do that any more than they would tell you that there are 1,245 adverse effects that go with the Pfizer, as we're now learning from Freedom of Information Act responses filed by Judicial Watch. It's just disgusting beyond belief how the world is being played. At the school, we recognize the important connection between our local community food production and wider global issues surrounding sustainable development. We know these issues are important to children, but also difficult to make sense of and can be confusing for them. We welcome the opportunity to work with academics from Cardiff and UWE to explore these issues and support children in developing critical thinking around sustainable citizenship by eating bugs. How does eating bugs develop critical thinking? Give me a break. As reported by the Counter Signal, the UK's decision to phase out meat consumption and replace it with insects is part of a broader 2030 to 2050 agenda that will see nearly all consumption reduced, including energy consumption, red meat outright banned, as well as air travel and shipping banned by 2050. Get this. They really are attempting to bring us back to a feudal society. I mean, literally. They want to get rid of technology. They want to get rid of automobiles. They want to restrict our ability to travel. They want to keep us at home. They want to keep us toiling as serfs and slaves in the field. Here's a further indication. World Economic Forum guest says free speech must be changed. Yes, pesky free speech. Letting people speak their mind. No, we can't have that. We can't allow that. This past week, the global elites were gathered in Davos, Switzerland, for the World Economic Forum's annual summit. This is the annual meeting where wealthy globalists and world politicians gather to discuss how to better impose their authoritarian ideals on the rest of the world. The World Economic Forum was established by globalist crank Klaus Schwab, who, of course, is a Rothschild, and who, in a speech Monday, declared the future must be built by the evil mastermind wannabes attending the summit. How about no? During one panel discussion, Australia's e-safety commissioner, Julie Inman Grant, suggested it was time for the recalibration of free speech. Inman Grant bemoaned the increasing polarization everywhere and said, we're going to have to think about a recalibration of a range of human rights that play out online, including freedom of speech and being free from online violence, which they can't confuse from thoughts. They can't separate actions from thoughts, from thinking, from speech, from action. It's absurd. They want to merge them. So if you talk about what ought to be done without doing it, that's going to be violence from their point of view. The e-safety commissioner was reappointed by the Australian government to another five-year term earlier this year, also called for similar recalibration for the right of data protection and the right to child dignity. What in God's name does she have in mind there? The right to data protection, I have no doubt. That means no one can have any privacy with regard to any of their data, so that our masters can weed us out, can filter through and identify those who are likely to be threats to their power and control. This is very similar to what Pelosi is doing by not letting Jim Jordan and Jim Banks be part of the January 6th commission. Weed them out. They are threats to the authoritarian position being promoted by the zealous ideologues who want the Democrats to remain in control. This is very, very bad. And while Julie Inman Grant is Australia's e-safety commissioner, she also serves on the White House Gender Policy Council. Why am I not surprised? But Inman Grant wasn't the only nutcase to address a World Economic Forum. Another speaker, Alibaba Group President J. Michael Evans, bragged about the development of an individual carbon footprint tracker that will be able to track people's travel and what they eat. Keep in mind, U.S. lawmakers and governors from both parties attended this week's World Economic Forum summit, as did members of the Biden administration. Meanwhile, the Biden-Harris administration has proposed new standards for national electric vehicle charging network. Believe me, this is a catastrophe. They want to move us in the direction of electric vehicles. Today, the Biden-Harris administration is announcing new steps to meet President Biden's goal to build out the first ever national network of 500,000 electric vehicle chargers along America's highways and in communities, a key piece of the bipartisan infrastructure law. The Department of Transportation, in partnership with the Department of Energy, is proposing new standards to make charging electric vehicles a convenient, reliable, and affordable for all Americans, including when traveling long distances. Without strong standards, chargers would be less reliable, may not work for all cars, or lack common payment methods. The new standard will ensure everyone can use the network, no matter what car you drive or which state you charge in. Now, let me just mention, there's a catastrophe involved here because it takes so much longer to charge using electric. It adds hours and hours. Instead of a 5-minute fill up of gas, you're going to have to spend hours at a station. You're going to maybe have to rent a motel room. You'll wind up eating in fast food restaurants. And while you save money on gas because the electricity charge is cheaper, what you lose in terms of time is simply stunning and overwhelming. We had a report here about a woman who just drove from L.A. to San Francisco. And while she saved, you know, about $100 on gas, the amount of time it took was exorbitant. This is just ridiculous. We have a similar report going from Louisiana, New Orleans, as I recall, to Chicago. They had to stop. They had to go out of their way to find an electric charging station. It took forever. They wound up spending all these hours and hours and hours in fast food restaurants. Meanwhile, and this is truly catastrophic, Biden administration quietly raised the amount of ethanol required in summer blend gasoline from 10% to 15%. Three predictable problems will surface soon. Get this. First issue. The renewable fuel standard is a government mandate passed in 2005, expanded in 2007, that requires growing volumes of biofuels to be blended into U.S. transportation fuels like gasoline and diesel every year. About 40% of corn grown in the U.S. is used for ethanol. Raising the amount of ethanol required in gas will result in the need for more biofuel corn. With farming costs and output already under pressure, this could be problematic. The net result of Biden's raising the mandatory amount of biofuel that must be present is this. Less food as more corn is needed for ethanol, higher prices for finished and blended gasoline, vehicle engines breaking down at a much higher rate. This is really catastrophic. The engines breaking down at a higher rate. Because it turns out the engines are not designed to handle 15% ethanol. And the 15% ethanol is going to mean that you can't use a gas-powered lawnmower, a leaf raker, all kinds of other small engine devices, including for motorboats. Your engine won't work. It's going to destroy the engines of automobiles manufactured prior to 2001. So you can see this is deliberately designed to destroy the Americans' capacity to travel. You're going to be immobilized. The new electric vehicles, of course, cost an arm, a leg. No one can afford them. If you're not AOC, you're going to be up a creek without a paddle. This is all insulting beyond belief. Let me say, we're going to open the lines for callers, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will take your call. We'll get you on the line, on the air, to discuss any of these issues, and God knows there's enough going on here. It's very disturbing what's taking place across the nation here, and in particular how the Democrats are abusing their position. This is not just dereliction of duty. This is dastardly. This is completely dastardly. I cannot believe it's happening here, but by God it is. The United States is crumbling before our very eyes. There's no question about it. If you want to share your views, if you want to sound off, call in. Lines are open to 540-352-4452. Absolutely stunning what's taking place. Thanks, Mitchell. Yes. 540-352-4452. Call in and get your opinions on the air. Glad to hear from you. What's taking place is just shocking, stunning, beyond belief. Really unbelievable. So call in, express your view. Glad to get you on the air. 540-352-4452. Be sure, call in. Let me hear from you and join the show today. 540-352-4452. Standing by to get your call. Just unbelievable. And check out my blog if you got any doubt. And look also for the report on Buffalo that I did with Brian Davidson, who's a private investigator. He's turned out to be a brilliant investigator of false flag. Brilliant. All there at BitChute Channel Jim Fetzer. And of course, if you have the occasion, you're welcome to visit my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Meanwhile, we're waiting your call. We'll stand by. And it's unbelievable, by the way, what we're even getting from Michael Moore, who wants to repeal the Second Amendment, if you can believe that. Yes. He claims he's being courageous by speaking out where others will not. But it's absolutely unbelievable. We'll be right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we have a caller from the 281 area code. Caller, please just give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
Hello, Jim. It's Bruce in Texas. How you doing?
Good, Bruce. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that they're moving society back to a feudalism system. It's a society of haves and have-nots, and it's intentional in my view. You know, when I was a young child, maybe about 12 years old or so, I visited Mexico with my father. It's a beautiful country, so I'm not bashing Mexico or Mexican people. But I noticed that there was a lot of poverty, and I was paying attention to politics even then, and the government, you know, you give bribes to the cops, and they let you go. It's very corrupt, and I asked my father, why is it like this? He says, well, they don't have a middle class. And the middle class, when there's no middle class, there's no political power at the lower end, so the elites control everything. He told me that, and it stuck with me, and I think it's exactly true, and that's where they're moving to on a global scale. Who can afford one of these electric vehicles? You know, the people, like those travels you were talking about, like across the country, well, the elites don't need to do that. They have private jets, or they'll fly first class. They don't give a rat's behind about the ordinary person. They want you locked down in your house, like you say. And I'm looking here at this website. Why is ethanol bad for cars? Ethanol can damage many parts of your car at concentrations above 10%. Ethanol can destroy gas tanks, fuel pumps, gaskets, and attract moisture into your fuel. Engines can be completely ruined over time if they're not designed for ethanol. So this artificially created shortage of gasoline due to the Ukrainian-Russian war, which was, in my view, it was instigated by the West, by NATO, by the EU, by the globalists, by the United States. That's why they had to get Trump out of power so they can continue on with their program. I believe they had planned for to undergo under President Clinton, Hillary Clinton. And so they're going to just destroy everybody's vehicle that's older than, I don't know, in the 80s, 90s, 2000s. And so it's clear to me. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I don't think there's any doubt about it, Bruce. I think Hillary, they did frustrate the progress on all these issues by virtue of Hillary losing to Trump. So they're trying to regain, they're trying to get back on schedule, and it's all going to be detrimental to not just the people of the United States, but of the world. I mean, this is absolutely outrageous. And they're engineering, by the way, you know, artificial food shortages. There's a staggering number of 67. I believe I actually read them all on the show last week. 65 different food processing plants that have been taken out one way or another. You've got even more going on. It's stunning, Bruce. I mean, how are we going to get our way out of this? Very, very difficult to see how we're going to cope.
You stack the fuel shortage and the agenda against petroleum products, which gave people freedom. You know what I mean? It's a form of freedom to be able to travel.
Yes.
It's a basic freedom. Okay, you take that with the engineered food shortages, and you stack upon that the uncontrolled migration of people from the third world into the first world. And I read somewhere, I don't have the exact figures on me, but each migrant ecological footprint goes from like 5 acres to 15 or 20 acres per person. And so they're not really concerned about the environment. What they're doing is just destroying the first world and bringing it down to a third world status across the globe where they can sit on top of it like tyrants. And I suspect maybe we'll have a caller later on that follow me, and he'll go after Trump that he's Zion Don. And yeah, he's Zion Don. I won't deny that. And he's in the pocket of the Jewish elite there in New York and in Israel. But what he did, though, was frustrate their plans, and they had to get him out. He has North Korea talking to South Korea. He went to see the North Korean president. He wanted to have good relations with Russia. He was hard on China, but he wasn't a warmonger. He just wanted the economic policies to tip back towards the United States. And so, you know, I'll take him for what he's worth. He was worth much more than Joe Biden is at the present time. And maybe that's our only hope is to get him or someone similar in this next election. They rigged the polls, but if he can overwhelm the polls with real votes, I believe that's what happened when Trump was elected, then maybe at least we can buy ourselves some time. Because they might collapse upon their own hubris if they cause too much trouble in Europe. You know, people are getting upset, you know, and it only takes so much. You know, in my view, maybe a new French Revolution, we take the world economic people and put their heads in the guillotine. To me, that would be the ultimate best outcome, you know, and have a great reset on the political front.
I don't think you're alone in having that vision of the emancipation of the world on a global scale. We have stand by, Bruce. We have a second caller, Brian. Brian, join the conversation. Give us your state and your thoughts about all these matters.
Yeah, Missouri, I just wanted to say, I've got a real ant problem in my kitchen. So the British, they can come over here and they'll get all the ants they need for their child lunch program.
Ants for your and, child. Yes, I like it. Right. I mean, there you go. A new source of protein. Eat ants.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to bring up, your program last week, I think it was Friday, you had that Alex on that was talking about the incredible noise of an AR-15 and these school shootings. And
yeah.
I was going to call in because you triggered a memory of mine. When I was in Vietnam, I was in a situation where we had to use our M-16s, and there was a guy next to me, and we're firing away. And I remember thinking, God, these things are noisy. They just ping. They have this tinny noise to them. Well, the guy next to me, and of course, we're not in a building. The next day, he complained so much about his ears. He said, my God, my ears are just killing me. Then he had fluid running out of his one ear that was closest to the M-16, and he had to go on sick call. So I just, you know, last Friday, I wanted to make that comment concerning that, because that was just so spot on. You just can't imagine the noise that comes out of those things.
Hey, can I respond to this caller?
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I've done some firing indoors when I was in the military. That ping is a supersonic crack, and it's very loud. Yeah, and it damages your hearing. And it's very puzzling, just like in Sandy Hook, that this guy can go around and shoot all these rounds, these AR rounds, and he would be deaf within a few seconds, you know.
It's more than that, Bruce. None of the students, none of the participants report the sound. There's no word about it, not a word about it from anyone, which is further proof positive from the absence of report to the really problematic sound that this is all staged. Not a shot is fired. If it is, it's with blanks. We had that at Buffalo, but you don't have any casings being ejected from the weapon. Actually, inside it appears to be just an air gun, because in Buffalo, he at point blank range, he fires into a cranium, which ought to have been blown apart like a melon. Instead, they're just a whoop of air. So Brian, yeah, more Brian. Tell us.
I got to jump out, guys. Sorry, okay. Brian, we're interrupting. I just got to go.
Bruce, that's okay. Thanks for calling, Bruce. Thanks for calling.
The other thing that makes a lot of racket with that is all that brass hitting concrete. I mean, that creates a lot of noise. And the other thing, that round tumbles. I remember when I was in the Army, they talked about how devastating it was, because when the round hits a physical body, it's no longer going straight. It starts tumbling. And that's what really tears up the victims, is this tumbling action of the M16 AR-15 round. So, yeah, it's just beyond belief what they did with all that.
It's just embarrassingly bad. I mean, you know, beginning with Sandy Hook, we've just had a succession of staged events. Boston bombing, like, I've even got a video here from Uvalde that suggests that Wayne Carver, who's supposed to be deceased now, may have actually been present on the scene, no doubt to help in aiding how to fake, you know, the medical evidence in a case like this. Embarrassingly bad. I'm going to take a closer look, but superficially, it sure does look a lot like him. How bad is that? Give us more of your thoughts, Brian. I mean, what's your take on where we're heading, what the Democrats are doing, all that?
Well, you know, I have the different viewpoint because I do that Kundalini yoga. Jim, I'm going to get you on it. It'll change your life. But basically, everything is not as dire as what it seems, because we're at the end of a 26,000-year cycle. It was supposed to end December 21st of 2012, but the dark have been doing all this stuff to hold it up, and the new age is the golden age of mankind. And what's going on, it's like a wounded animal. It's like you've got this evil, wounded monster that we've stabbed it, and it's flailing around, and it's going to get crazier, but eventually we shall prevail, and it'll be the end of them. So that's what I think.
So, in other words, there's a cosmic solution, as it were, to the problems we're encountering.
The cosmic solution is coming. That's correct. So, anyway, the 26,000-year cycle, what happens at the end of it is your soul moves up an energy level. And when that happens, at that point where your energy moves up, they're vulnerable to being destroyed. And they're doing all this to avoid their day of judgment, basically. That's what you're looking at, without trying to get into religion, okay, or spirituality. Holy Spirit is just quantum mechanical energy. The energy of quantum mechanics would be in religion, Holy Spirit. So anyway, we're getting ready to shift our quantum mechanical energy up, and they're trying to, at all costs, keep it from happening. So that's why you see all this craziness, to keep all the fear going so nothing shifts up.
Well, let me see if Mitchell has some thoughts about this. Mitchell himself has his own show. He has opinions about it.
Yeah, I've been on it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I was on it for 4 hours. So anyway, 2 hours one day, 2 hours another.
Wow.
So he knows who I am.
Oh, yes, I do, Brian. Well, you know, Jim, what I will say is all of the theater, everything you're seeing from the Democrat Party and everything, they're doing that as a preemptive cover to protect themselves from incoming scandals, so to speak. You know, the January 6th scandal, the so-called insurrection. I mean, we can look at what Comey did, what Hillary did, you know, what Obama did, what the Justice Department did to Donald Trump in 2016 and 2017. And they knew by March that the entire Steele dossier was discredited, even before they had briefed Congress. The FBI knew that it was completely false, and that Lisa Page, who put together those briefings, you know, they committed obstruction of justice. They committed crimes against this nation. And, you know, they're now trying to come up with a political excuse for their own behavior by bringing up January 6th. Also, if you look back at the first impeachment of Donald Trump about Ukraine, orchestrated by Sean Misko, Eric Ciaramella, the Center for a New American Security, among others, that what we know is that they had a political vendetta against Trump, and they committed the seditious and treasonous acts that they claim Trump did not once but twice. And then, you know, it is really just this, it's like publicizing in the New York Times days before a big event drop comes, where the government then will foreshadow what they want people to think. This is one reason how we know that everybody is most people that watch the mainstream media are essentially just a ton of time robots that are programmed by, you know, the media. So yeah. It's an untenable position for our constitutional republic. And I've just added Paul.
All right, Paul, join the conversation. Give us your thoughts.
Jim, I tell you, it's outrageous. It's unprecedented. It's stunning. It's staggering. They've stolen our country. What can we do about it? I'm telling you right now.
You mean surprise, surprise, right? Yeah, as though we didn't know.
I was a little shocked, I got to admit. It's the first time I heard it when you talked about Ivanka, you know, turning on her own dad. Unbelievable.
It is. Ivanka, she's not the sharpest pencil in the pack. I mean, it's just embarrassingly bad that Ivanka should have done this. But there it is. And I do think her whole thing, her marriage with Jared, there's something very peculiar about that, Paul. I'm not kidding when I think they may have used a chemical method for her to fall in love with this guy, who seems to me unimpressive in every possible respect.
Yeah, I mean, I think she could have had her pick of the pack, I suppose. So, yeah, who knows with these people? It's one of those things where, on the one hand, I'm heartened by the fact that I believe most Americans at this point are just numb to it. They don't really give a damn. I deal with a lot of regular people and or maybe blue collar type people, and nobody cares. Nobody's really talking about it. It's just one of those things. It's just not part of everyday life. I mean, it gets blown up in people's minds who are in frequent contact with it, such as television and the internet. I mean, you mentioned your wife is addicted to MSNBC and she can't seem to break it. I don't know if she really would want to, But I do know that these things can become an addiction. I mean, I know that my time on the computer was and can be very easily quite an addiction, and I'm trying to limit it now. And in some ways, I think I might be a little happier for it. But to be honest with you, you know, of course, it is all outrageous. I think it's meant to outrage us. It's meant to inculcate multiple different feelings. Among them would be a kind of a learned helplessness, which many other people have written about. And the only positive thing we can take away is that I think a lot of people are just not paying attention to it.
Mitchell humorously asked, does my wife need an intervention? She thinks I need an intervention. I mean, when we discuss this explicitly, she thinks that I just have everything wrong. I mean, you know, and that's pretty typical of the liberal approach. She's not quite, I think, as progressive as some, but I mean, there was a time when I regard myself as a Democrat. I acknowledge that I voted twice for Bill Clinton. I voted twice for Barack Obama. When Trump appeared on the scene, it was a breath of fresh air. And I mean, Hillary is such a monster. There was no possible way I could have supported her. And the Republicans in the past hadn't done a very good job of putting up reasonable candidates. I mean, Mitt Romney, for example, John Kerry, for example. Jesus Christ. I mean, John McCain, not Kerry, who's, of course, just a sellout. What? How disgusting has he become?
Let me ask you a question, just for the fun of it. On all the major conspiracies that you've covered, I mean, for example, does your wife think that we landed on the moon? Or, I mean, is that anything you guys have ever talked about?
I don't know about the moon landing. She's all with me on JFK and 9/11. I think she's right on board. I don't know that we've spoken about the moon landing, interestingly, because that is a bit of a, you know, that's a biggie. In fact, I'm doing this critical thinking and conspiracies course online. It's called Conspiracy 101. You can check it out if you go to my blog. And we're doing the moon landing at our very next class session, which is on Wednesday. It's interesting that all the classes have been recorded. If anyone wanted to catch up, there are 15 class sessions, and the enrollment for the course is $150. So it's the equivalent of $10 per class. But all the materials for the course are made available, complimentary. All the classes are available online if you enroll. And by coincidence, we're doing the moon landing. So I just mentioned that in passing, Paul, since you brought it up. I mean, it's a nice case where if something was technologically impossible at the time, then it didn't take place. And going to the moon was technologically impossible. And it, when you throw in the Van Allen radiation belt, it wasn't even physically possible that we could have had manned missions to the moon, where even a NASA spokesman a couple of years ago acknowledged the greatest obstacle to manned missions to Mars was a Van Allen radiation belt. Require like 6 feet of lead to protect the astronauts. Well, if we can't go now to Mars because manned missions are impossible with a Van Allen, then obviously in 1969 and 70, we did not go to the moon. I mean, you know, give us a break.
Well, I just was asking. I mean, it was predictable. I guess you were going to go through the little checklist of the rundown there. But, yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing. You've been married a long time, and I believe you have a daughter as well as sons, right?
Yes, I have one of each.
Okay, yeah. And then, you know, and plus you've probably worked with women, and it's just one of those things where women's brains just do not work the same as a man's brain. I mean, this has been my experience in life, validated over and over with various relationships and coworkers. They just don't. And in some ways, the quote, Democratic brain, let's call it the liberal progressive brain, it just does not work the same. And no amount of evidence can, in my opinion, persuade or overcome those anatomical, neurological obstacles. I've sort of become convinced of this.
Have you heard Michael Moore's version of the Second Amendment, which he wants to rewrite? This is so absurd. Listen to this. Congress shall have a well-regulated system for the extremely limited ownership of firearms and weapons, and they will make laws regarding ammunition, capacity, storage, locks, registration, the vetting of the owner, strict minimum age requirements, all of which are necessary to the security of a free state and the right of the people to be kept safe from gun violence. The people's right to not be shot or threatened by those who bear arms shall not be infringed.
Have you seen Michael Moore, some of his images recently? He looks like some old hag. He looks like an old woman.
Yeah, it's bad. He's been compared to a, you know, Jabba the Hutt. But, I mean, he's just gone so far off. He's gone so far off the rails, Paul. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, you know what I would like to know? I mean, you can ascribe any number of adjectives to, you know, such thoughts. And on the one hand, there's people that will read into them some kind of a social good and a care for others. You know, I'm not sure how much that exists. But I would love for there to be some sort of device. We could call it a sincerity device, a sincerity tester, where we could really know if some of these people, including, of course, politicians, really, really think and believe the things that they say. I would really love to know this. Just for example, I would really love to know how many politicians fake their vaccines versus the ones that really got a vaccine. Because in my opinion, the ones that fake their vaccines should be shot, firing squad, right now. And the people that don't really sincerely believe the things, the talking points and the issues that they champion, if they don't really sincerely believe them, they should also be shot, firing squad, right now. That's just the way I feel about things. Because one thing people can say about me, if they really knew, is that whatever it is I say and think, for the most part, is 100% authentic. I can't stand people that aren't authentic.
Oh, Paul, I'm with you. And the whole Democratic Party has lost any semblance of authenticity. They're all liars, phonies, frauds. It's embarrassing that this should be what has become of a major political party in the United States. I'm glad you called in. Glad Bruce called in. Brian called in and Mitchell joined the conversation. Everyone, take care. Spend as much time as you can with your family and friends, because really the situation is dire. Don't lose an opportunity to spend with your loved ones. Thanks for being here back Wednesday on The Raw Deal.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...